Praise the Lord. My message today is let every generation praise the Lord. We're celebrating the grand opening of our new youth building. But we got to doing some checking and we found out that 25 years ago on the first day of Winter Bible Seminar 1992, we marched from the NRC over here and marched into this building for the first time to have services, dedicating it. And now, 25 years later, we're going to march over here in a few minutes and dedicate our youth building. And like she said a while ago, this building is all paid for, praise God. I first want to thank Denise, my daughter. She's had a dream for this, and she fought for it very hard because she's very passionate about the kids of this church and the teenagers of this church. Denise, would you stand, please? There she is. She's pretty like her mom, but she's geared like her dad. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but I call her the chip and I'm the old block, and that's not fiction either. And I want to thank all of you. It's because of you, all of you that had any part in giving financially toward this building, I want you to stand. I don't care if you had one of the pledges or you just gave a certain amount of money each week. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Give yourself a hand. And I just got a text from some of those that are watching online. Many of our people watching online sent in offerings. And there was one couple that sent in two really nice offerings. And they're watching. I got a text from a while ago. Hey, thank you guys very much. And thank all of you that sent money in toward this. I also want to thank all of you who worked on the building. And I know many of the employees. So all of you that worked on the building, did any kind of work on the building, however it is, I want you to stand. Any of you did any kind of work on the building? Yeah, there you go. Charlie, you are the same because you're the one that erected it so it could get done. And Jason did the concrete work, and praise God. Why is this building so important? It's important because it's for the next generation, so they'll have a place to experience God. You know, in life, we have to learn how to follow God's plan for our life. Psalm 79:13 says, "So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give thanks forever. We will show forth your praises to all generations." And then in Psalms 145:4, it says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Here we see that one generation is to praise the Lord and declare to the next generation about the things of God. We need to prepare our next generation so they will be able to follow God's plan for their life. You know, knowing about God and the things of God just doesn't happen by accident. You know, as the kids grow up, you have to teach them to teach them if they're going to cross the street, look both ways, right? Hello. You know, praising God in each generation just doesn't happen. You have to teach them, love them, guide them, provide for them until they can make their own decisions. With this building, we're creating a place for the next generation to praise God. Buildings were important in the Bible, you know, especially if they were used for the service for God. King David had to prepare so that Solomon could build the temple in Jerusalem. This building is very important because in this building, our kids and our young people will be praising God and learning how to follow God's plan for their lives. Now, we started talking about a youth building 15 years ago or so. I drew not real plans, but, you know, just sort of drawings of building and different things. One time we'd go put it over on the west side of the NRC, then on the east side of the NRC. In fact, on the east side, I had somebody with a draftsman. We sort of drew something up. Then before Ross left here, he drew some kind of plans for a youth building. And Charlie's shaking his head, so that happened. And then we was going to put it across the street. And I thought that was going to work out until the city wanted me to spend over $1 million just on putting up fences and light protection so the lights don't go into the neighborhood. And then they wanted us to do all sorts of shrubberies and everything else. And I said, that ain't going to work. Then we tried to put it over here where the soccer fields are. I mean, we tried to put this building everywhere. We drove it, but nothing seemed right. So one day, Lynette and I were driving over the campus, and we were thinking and talking about the youth building, and she saw that piece of ground right beside of the library, and she said, would it go there? And I said, I think so. And I said, look at this. The parking lots are already there. We're not going to have to do that. All of the connections for the electric and the sewer and everything is right there. We're not going to have to dig any ditches. We don't have to run anything. Well, it digs a little bit, but, you know, not like if you're putting it somewhere else. And so I called Charlie and had him come down, and we measured it out, and there's where it is. And the building it was built at the right time. If we would have done it earlier, we would have did it a different way, because at that particular time, both the JV and the varsity, they weren't called that then, but our junior hires and the high schoolers were all meeting together. Now we got a special place for them, and now here. So it wouldn't have been right. This is the right time for the building because, you know, the leadership is ready for it. And things are in place to take care of the young people in a better way. Now, I want to teach all of you something here for just a moment. There may be a vision and there may be a plan that needs to happen, but you need to not be so fast and push it so fast that you do it out of timing. See, there can be a vision, there can be, all of this can be there, but if you're out of timing, then you'll build the wrong kind of building, you'll move when you shouldn't have moved, when you should have stayed where you're at. So you need to get the timing right. And this is the right time for this building because I don't know whether you realize what the young people are facing out there today, but they're facing a different world than you or I grew up in. You know, Denise says just the other day, she said, I said to me in my office, I don't see a building. I see young people's lives being changed because of the building. You know, our plan is to reach the kids in school in this community. We're focusing on reaching into our community with this building. We want to offer a safe place for kids that can come and hang out after school. So our plans are, and I don't know exactly when they'll come into fruition, that we're going to have this open so kids can come and hang out after school if they need a place to hang out. We're planning on a program called Overtime where the kids can come and hang out after Friday night football here in Broken Arrow. The kids and the young people of this generation, you know, they're different than we were. But we need to show support and understanding. We need to have a heart for all of the different generations that are represented here today. We all need to do that. Sometimes the older ones, not me, because I don't fall in that category, they don't appreciate the energy of the youth. But I do. Sometimes the older ones, the more mature ones, don't appreciate their fast pace. I do, because if you stay running with the young people, you'll stay young. If you sit down and start doing nothing, you're going to get old. Someone said, now listen to this. Before you criticize the younger generation, remember who raised them. Come on now. Hello. Remember, we that are of the more mature generation, not older, mature. We may have wisdom and experience, but we need the energy, the idealism, and the enthusiasm of the younger generation. As we begin to think about that, it's important that we have a heart for our young people. Look at this in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here, like the prophet, we need to have a heart for the young people. You know, they're not like us. They're not growing up in a world like we had. But they are still valuable. They still have a lot to give to our world. One of the keys to generational cohesion, if you'll remember, a few years back, I preached a series of messages called Ages, Stages, and Generations. Y'all remember that? And we talked about generational cohesion and not generational separation. You know, one of the ways to do that is to maintain a young heart. Be young in your spirit. Be flexible. You know, have a heart for the young people. Don't always put them down. Come on. You know, some of you need to ask God to give you a heart for the youth. In this congregation today, we have the traditionalists, which I fall into. Anybody that was born from 1946 and back are in the traditionals. Then we have the baby boomers, those who were in 46 to 64. Then we got Generation X, those who were born 1966 through 76, and some extended to the 80. And then you got Generation Y, also known as the millennials, those who were born from 77 to 94, and some say 81 to 95. And then you have the I, or the Z generation, and those that were born from 94 or 95 to the present time. We all are here together. We all grew up in a different generation. We all have different ideas of how something's supposed to be. But if we're going to have cohesion with one another, we have to understand that each generation is important, and each generation has something to give to the world and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we that are the other generations besides this one today, the I or Z generation, we need to realize that it's our responsibility to teach the younger generation, and also to be involved with Generation Y, the millennials. We need to have a heart and be flexible to understand them and help them and lead them and guide them, so that every generation can praise the Lord. Amen. See, I've said it already. The world they're growing up in isn't different than the world you grew up in. You know, I have the privilege of having grandsons from 22 to 12. So I have opportunity to stay up with the young people a little bit. And, you know, our kids, you know, don't know a world without the internet and without technology. You know, LP albums to my grandkids, they don't know what that is. 8 tracks. They don't know what it is to get up and have to go over to the television and change the channel. They don't know what it is to only have three channels. And after the news goes off at 10 o'clock, the TV goes off and the test pattern comes on. Come on, y'all got any? See, that's where we're at. Look at all of that's where we're at. They're not there today. They have 300 channels and more than that, probably. You know, all of these things that we grew up with are obsolete to them. And we're trying to get into their technology generation. Sometimes if I want to know how to do something, I call up that 12-year-old over there. He knows how to work that iPhone better than I do, you know. But because, hey, this is their generation. You know, they don't know anything about, you know, having to go to the store and buy the records. They just go on the internet and go to iTunes and get them. Hello, come on. They don't know nothing about having. How many of you remember having to go down? Now, of course, I'm going back to the traditionalists now, but we had to go down to the store and buy those 45s when we were teenagers. Yeah. And then after that came out the LP albums, you know. What, 78, I think they all were called, 33. I don't know what it was, you know. In fact, in storage, I still have my Magnavox stereo that my mom and dad gave me at graduation from high school. I still have it. And it's got the deal on it where you can put the deal on it and play the 45, or you can play the albums on it. And, you know, and the front speaker comes off, and then you stretch it out and set it over here, you know. That was our surround sound. How many of y'all know? Oh. Today's kids need us more than ever. The world is moving faster than it's ever moved. Today's kids need to realize that we are interested in them as people. They need to see our strong faith. They need to be reassured that they belong. They need to be assured that they're accepted. There are many, many young people today that's having a problem with acceptance. You know, kids and young people don't have to be very old before they can really start contributing to the world. Sometimes we older ones don't realize that. But at age 6, Mozart gave piano recitals in Europe. At age 7, Helen Keller, blind and deaf, mastered the vocabulary of 625 words. At age 10, Thomas Edison set up a laboratory in his basement. At age 15, Louis Braille began devising a system of raised points writing for the blind to read and write. David in the Bible was a teenager when he was anointed, 17-year-old teenager when he was anointed king of Israel. Albert Einstein at age 16 wrote the first papers about the theory of relativity. Joan of Arc at age 17 led 3,000 French soldiers to victory in Orleans. At age 19, Bill Gates founded the Microsoft Corporation. Samuel, as a young boy, began to minister to God before he ever became a prophet. You ever read it in there? See, there is great potential in these young people sitting over here. I want my young people to stand up. They're all sitting over here together. I want y'all to stand up. There's the future of Rhema Bible Church. That's the teenagers. You can be seated. Now I want all my junior varsity, that is the fifth, sixth, seventh graders. Y'all all stand up. Where's all my fifth, sixth, seventh graders? These are the generations that will be the, thank you, will be the leaders in not too many years from now. And it's important that in this building, the seeds of greatness will be planted and borne into their hearts and will be cultivated and fertilized with the Word of God. And they will, young people will find their destinies that will help us to enjoy our world that we're living in. Do you realize that the older generation is passing and the new generation is taking over? Today, the younger generation needs God, needs us to show them what it is to live for God and stay with God. The most recent studies of Lifeway Research show that among young adults ages 23 to 30 who stayed in church during the ages of 18 to 22, only 6% do not currently attend church. That is the key for getting young people to stay in church, and that is for us to provide something for them from 13 to 18. If we can get them from 13 to 18, we got them. Hello? Many kids today don't understand right from wrong. They're not taught in school like we were that there's absolutes. They're not taught absolutes. They're taught, okay, whatever. They believe in tolerating everything, even if it's against God. That's what they're taught. There are no moral boundaries anymore. There's no clear sense of right or wrong. I'm going to lay it on you so you can better listen. A teenage girl can get pregnant and all the other teenagers, oh, they did great, she's going to be a mother. No, it's not great. It goes against things of God. It doesn't mean that they can't be forgiven. It doesn't mean that they can't go on with God. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that this is where our world has come to. They accept everything. They accept everything. Our kids have a moral crisis today. A second grade, they're dealing with transgenders. A second grade boy told his teacher, I know I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl. That's because they had the wrong teaching. I want to read something to you from the Word of God. I didn't have this in my notes, but God just brought it to me. And let me go get it. All right. Romans 12:2 from the Message Bible. And this explains exactly what I'm talking about the world today that our kids are living in. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from inside out, recognizing what He wants from you quickly and responding. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. See, without realizing, some of us adults, because of what we see on TV, what we continue to hear, taught, we ourselves begin to become well adjusted to our society, and we fall in the trap. Okay, I guess it's all right. No, we have to love everybody. We don't love what they do. You don't hear anybody talking and preaching about right or wrong anymore. You don't hear anybody preaching or teaching about sin. I'm not talking about do's and don'ts. I'm talking about what the Bible calls sin. We have to teach our kids that God created them. You've heard me say it from this pulpit many times. God created them male and female. If your birth certificate says male, you're a male. And you got the equipment that goes with it. And if you're a female, it says female, and you got the equipment that goes with it. And the Bible says that he made male and female and joined them together, and they were to procreate. Mary and Sue can't procreate. Steve and Jim can't procreate. I mean, hey, I'm laying it on the line, people, but we need to understand where we are and what our world is coming to. Our world has gone so far left, and we have tolerated people until we've tolerated our freedoms out. And in this toleration, our young people are losing sight of what the true Word of God says. Come on. It's a known fact that the human brain doesn't develop fully in the front lobes, which is the decision-making part, until you're about 25 years of age. These kids, teenagers, are being hit with all kinds of stuff that they're not ready physiologically to handle. That's why teens make so many bad decisions, because they're pushed with all of this upon them. We have to understand what the kids deal with today in social media. With the internet and social media, everything, bad and good, is at their fingertips. Well, we don't realize that many people and organizations are using social media to lead our kids away from God. They're not doing it blatantly. It's just a little something here and a little something there and a little something here until they get them thinking that way. Our kids need help in establishing safe boundaries with all the internet and the social media activity. It's true, every generation has to find their own faith. Our prayer is that our kids will have the same testimony that David had. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. That's what we want out of our youth. Be taught from the youth, and when they are mature adults, they can say the same thing that David just said here. I know a couple months ago, I'm getting ready to leave the house, and Lynette gets a call from Denise, and she's crying. And she gets off the phone and she says, well, she's got a burden of intercession for our youth. And she came to the house, and her and Lynette fell on her knees there in our dressing room and began to intercede for the youth for over an hour. And what came out of that is that we need to intercede for this generation. There is such darkness. There is so much that's trying to get them. They'll be lost and totally miss the moving of God if we don't intercede for them, if we don't help them. I'm asking for your commitment to help lead this generation in our church and others that we're going to reach out to into the things of God. I'm asking everyone in this church to support the kids with prayer. You've supported by building this building. That's great. But it doesn't stop there. We need to support them with prayer. We need to support them with the ministry of helps, being involved in the kids and the junior highs and in the varsity high school, and be a godly example before them. Instead of condemning them, pray for them. Help them. If they make a mistake, say, it's all right. Everybody makes mistakes. Just don't do it again, and pray with them. This means you need to get involved. Thank God we built the building. But that building will be of no value unless we adults get in behind it and begin to give of ourselves to mature this next generation into praising God. Let every generation praise God. Today I'm asking for your commitment to help our kids and our teenagers. I want all of you to bow your head for just a moment. And I want you to pray and ask God to give you a heart for the youth. I want you to pray and ask God to help you to be able to volunteer in the Ministry of Helps and get involved in helping our young people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss you to walk over to the new youth building. The entrance of the building faces the west. You can walk out and walk around, or you can walk out the back area here on each side and walk around. It's over, you know, prayer and healing center's there, and then it's just to the east of the prayer and healing center. We're going to use the front entrance only, so don't go around to the side where the roll-up doors are. Go around on the west side. That's where we're going to go into the building. Parents, if you have children in the children's area, go pick them up first and come over and watch your young children and don't let them run free in the building. Keep them with you, okay? Now, there are staff leaders in every room if you have any questions. Will the varsity youth and the youth leaders arise now and go over to the building? They already knew to do this. If you got kids in the preschool, nursery, over here and you need to pick up, why don't you go now and pick those up so you can get over there, because it'll take you a minute to pick them up. Praise the Lord. If you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I would like for you to know him before you leave here today. Or if you need to rededicate your life, I just talked with a young man just recently that he said he had faith when he was younger, but he had lost his faith and he just rededicated his life. You may be in that category. So, if you're in that category, everybody stand, please. If you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your life forever. I want you to just step out in the aisle and walk down here to the front. I want to pray with you. So if there's anybody that wants to come on. Rededicate your life to God. Come on, right now. Upstairs, downstairs, doesn't make any difference. We need, some of you may need to change your life. You may have lost your faith. And you need to come and rededicate. So come on right now. Come on right now. Oh yes, praise God. Thank God, thank God. The ushers will help you get down here. God bless you, buddy. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come on. Come on. How far. Hallelujah.
Jesus is waiting with
God. God bless you, man.
So
bless you guys.
Just
bless you. Praise
you
God.
Are.
Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Come on now. Come. Anybody coming from the balcony? All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You that are here. I got two books in my hand. One of them called New Birth that talks about salvation. One of them talks about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ. If I reach these books out like this, What do you got to do to get them? That's it. You got them. Now, all of y'all are going to get them same books in just a moment, because I'm going to ask you to go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, given those books. Also, that place where you're going, we call it prayer room this morning. But at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, for about 40 minutes, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point to help you get your life turned back onto God or onto God for the first time. And it's just a few classes. They'll tell you about it there. I'd like to see you in that. Would you just raise one hand, and with that hand, you're saying, all right, God, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Congregation, reach hands toward them right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every need spiritually in their life will be met now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. You see Greg right there? He's going to take you to that place of prayer. So would you just turn and follow him right there? Just come on, go right now. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Hallelujah.